All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and taking your phone calls as always at 333-2665. We'd like to ask you a favor from the get-go. If we just stop broadcasting all of a sudden and it goes dead air, call 911 because I think they're trying to gas us out of this building. And somebody's got to fight for us because we're trying to do radio. We're trying to do our job. We're talking. We're light on oxygen in the brain anyways. So when that stuff gets up there, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So only if you hear dead air, you know, everything else will be okay. Again, 333-2665 is our phone number. And looking back at a pair of Indiana basketball games against top 10 ranked teams as Indiana hosted Iowa on Thursday night on national television ESPN and were victorious against the fourth ranked Hawkeyes 85-78 and then went up to Michigan State yesterday, 1 o'clock on CBS. And played a very poor second half and lost 88-69 after holding a 10-point or I guess 11-point lead in the first half. But we're going to go chronologically and take you back to Thursday night and the good 85-78 against Iowa. And Glass, this is a senior-laden lineup for Iowa. They play their starting lineup the majority of their minutes. They did again on Thursday. It is a four seniors and a junior. It's got arguably the best player in the league, although we saw maybe the guy's going to beat him in Denzel Valentine on Sunday. But Jared Uthoff certainly has made his case this year. And Indiana had its good stretches and bad stretches in the game against Iowa, but ultimately down the stretch, made the plays offensively, got back on top of Iowa, shut down Iowa down the stretch, and Jared Uthoff was 0-7 late in that game shooting the ball and made all the plays late. And you saw what a good IU team that does the right thing, that shares the ball, plays halfway decent defense. You saw all the good that this Indiana team can be on Thursday night against the Hawkeyes.
You did, and we knew points and more points was going to be the recipe for success, and that's exactly what Indiana gave you. And even when they didn't shoot it tremendously well in the second half, they still found a way to score. They still found a way to make the extra pass. They still found a way. And the issue, and we'll get to the second part of that issue coming up in a little bit, is taking that on the road with them. But at the Assembly Hall, 9 o'clock Thursday night, everybody's going to be geeked up for that game. That's easy to do. It's easy to get geeked up for games like that. And the Hoosiers, again, they did play well, Dave. And the good news, I think, was pretty – the formula was pretty simple. They did the things they do pretty well. And when things didn't go well from the three-point line, that wasn't game over or out of ideas. The ball moves at home. The ball gets places at home. Different guys play differently on the home court. And that's why Indiana's tough to beat there. I don't think they've lost a game there this year. And it's not surprising that they play well there because, again, they've done that. They've done it well against ranked teams. This is now the 6-7 against top five teams on that court. Their win against ranked teams on their court in the last 3 or 4 years is really off the charts as well. Uh-huh. So these aren't new developments. Not at all for Indiana. And the great news was, situationally, they played some really good defense. They also hit some really big shots late in the shot clock. Robert Johnson from about 25 feet. Mm-hmm. Troy Williams busting through and hitting a 15-foot jump shot.
That was a big one.
That was, especially after Iowa missed four tip-in layups that didn't go in.
That was about 2 seconds on the shot clock, too.
Exactly. Yogi misses 10 shots, 11 shots in a row, whatever it was. And Indiana still finds a way to win, but hits another big three-pointer to put them up 8, that corner 3. Probably wasn't the best shot of the night, but it went in. And when Indiana shots that you question and you wonder about go in, they're really, really hard to beat. Mm-hmm. And you saw a little of that happening. But the contributions you get from everybody, that was the key. We talked about that on Wednesday. We nailed this game plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you go back and listen,
I had 85-80 on the score.
And I had 81-78. Right, exactly. I had Iowa and you had Indiana score. But the point was, all the things they did, balance. Is Yogi your leading scorer? Is this? Well, yeah, he was by 1 point.
Seven players or 7 points or more.
Exactly right. And everybody contributed. Nobody went and hid, and that's what it takes to beat really good teams. We will compare that and contrast that to Michigan State on Sunday to show you the huge difference. But what Indiana brings it, and when the bench outs, what was the bench scoring? 28-0? It was something ridiculous.
It was 28-0. It wasn't
zero.
Indeed. Yep.
And when you can get guys a blow here and there and have productive minutes from that next level of attack. Mm-hmm. And when you can be almost two deep at every position, remember, Tom's been trying to get that from day, you know, that's been his goal from the start of the season. Yep. When you can get everybody firing, then Yogi Ferrell doesn't have to play a perfect game. We saw a not too hot shooting performance at Penn State. Mm-hmm. We saw a not too hot shooting performance at Indiana. We saw a not too hot shooting performance at Michigan State in his last three.
Yep.
They're 1-2. And the reason why is simple. The supporting cast at home plays better than it does on the road.
Indiana doesn't have the margin of error, apparently, if Yogi does not have a particularly good game.
They don't. And the other thing, the thing you saw in that game that stood out to me the most was finding the open shot and not settling for that first half-decent look. It was move it, move it, move it. Oh, look, they forgot where Nick Zeisloft was. Mm-hmm. He's wide open. Those are the ball movement shots that you want. Those are the plays you need. You didn't have a huge game from Thomas Bryant. You had a good game from Thomas Bryant. He only played 14 minutes because he had foul problems. And again, Indiana found ways to win because they got contributions across the board.
Well, look, I mean, you look at any team, I say this in any sport, if your best players, if your most talented players, the guys that you count on to give you the statistical production, I mean, anybody can, you could talk about makes some great passes or makes a steal or two, but you're looking for points in basketball. You're looking for guys to produce them, and you think of three or four guys in particular, you want to get them. And in the last couple of games, you've had spotty performances. We talked about Yogi Ferrell. He's having a hard time shooting right now. He's had three bad games in that regards. Troy Williams is all over the map, mostly down in the last several games. He had a nice night, or at least came back to have a nice second half against Iowa and contributed there, but he was a no-show up at Michigan State. Thomas Bryant's been in and out of foul trouble, and we've seen that a lot this year. He's a freshman. The problem with the Iowa game, they were soft fouls especially. There are times on the defensive end where he just looks like he's trying to make sure he doesn't do anything.
And that's the worst thing to do because that tells the official that you're in that zone that
you don't know what you're doing.
Let him go. Exactly. Let him have a layup if you got that.
And they were pretty much all soft against Iowa. But you know what came up, as you said there, is we got away with it because other players contributed. You got 19 points off the bench from your two seniors. And those kids have been great. You know, I won't say great every game, but they've been great all year. And I think giving you about everything you could want out of Bielfeld and Zeisloft. You know, got something out of Colin Hartman, Robert Johnson, who's been spotty with his shooting, had a nice game against Iowa. And of course, the crowd certainly helps you out. But you beat them on the glass. You shared the ball well against Iowa. And you saw what happened. If Indiana's going to score 85 points in any game, they're going to be in that game, if not win that game. Because there aren't a lot of teams that can keep up with them. And with Iowa, Iowa's one of those teams that possibly could. But it was a couple clutch plays down the stretch. But you've got to have contributions outside of your main kind of three, if you will, from a scoring standpoint, if you're going to have them be have a slump. And that's what ended up happening in Michigan State, is they were all in a slump and you didn't get any extra production.
At 60-56, the game turns when Indiana starts putting the ball back in the basket. And again, when Indiana scores and they get ahead and they make teams force the tempo, force their offense to get a little quicker, start looking at the clock, wondering how many possessions they're going to have left. When Indiana scores, they're very difficult to beat. When they don't, at Penn State, at Michigan State, you see what happens. Things go south quickly, and usually better teams will win in those situations. But against Iowa at home, number five team, again, the record 6-1 in their last seven against top five teams. At home at the Assembly Hall floor, they've shown they can do that. And again, the recipe isn't difficult to figure out. If Dave and I can figure it out on a Wednesday night, 20 minutes, again, it's not a hard issue to solve. Move the ball, be unselfish, make the easy play. And when they do that, they are hard to beat.
And hit the boards. 26 second chance points against Iowa. We'll talk a little bit about Michigan State when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers currently a game back of Iowa in the Big Ten standings after this past week. Brought Iowa back down a game with their victory on Thursday night, but then is now in a two-way tie with Maryland for second, a game ahead of Michigan. a game and a half, I guess, ahead of Wisconsin and two games ahead of Michigan State, Purdue, and Ohio State. Obviously, we've got Purdue coming up on Saturday. We've got Nebraska coming up on Wednesday. Both of those are at the Assembly Hall.
North Nebraska. Who cares? Not to be confused with their cousin.
Yeah. Can't lose that game. We know that
much. No, can't lose them at home.
Really need to beat Purdue. But before we look forward, let's look backwards once again. So coming off of a excellent effort, one of the best of the season overall. Again, I think you have to look a little bit at letting Iowa back into it after a 16-point lead. Iowa's a veteran team, and Iowa has won two of the rougher places to play. I mean, two of the most physical places or teams in at Purdue and at Michigan State, two of the best teams, two of the biggest teams.
You read and heard a lot of stuff this weekend about, nobody wins on the road in the Big Ten. It's really not a big deal, and that's not a big deal, and we're just kind of like everybody else. Well, except Iowa, who won at Purdue and at Michigan State. So let's wash that out.
The top eight teams that I mentioned a second ago, they're 33-28 on the road.
Yeah.
Seven of those are against teams that are in the top eight.
Okay.
Two of those were at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Two of those were at Michigan. One was at Purdue. Yeah. One was at Michigan State.
Iowa,
Maryland.
Iowa, Wisconsin.
Two of them were Maryland. Absolutely. Two of them were Iowa, I should
right.
say.
So and then two possible. Of them were Maryland. And who's leading?
Yeah, you can do it.
Well, who's leading the Big Ten? That's my
it's not
point.
Frequent, but it happens.
Who's leading the Big Ten?
Iowa, and that's why.
And then they've won the games that everybody else says, geez, we can't do it. So Indiana beats them at home. Iowa got a little unlucky in that game against the Hoosiers. Number one, you knew they were going to come back when they were down 16. That didn't even cross my mind. They were down 19 at Mackey Arena.
Again,
they've proven themselves.
You play four seniors in a junior, all your minutes.
They never panicked. They just whittled.
They're going to figure it out somehow.
They got better shots than the ones they were taking.
Yeah.
They were more patient, and they did what made them a really good team entering that game. And then when Jock got hurt, he was never the same after that. I thought Yogi did a good job on him. We said Yogi was going to spend some time on him. He did. But when Jock hurt his calf, he had no burst when he came back in that game, which was great. I'm not saying that that's the reason they lost, but he wasn't 100%, and that didn't hurt Indiana's chances at all. Farrell didn't shoot it very well, but what did he do down the stretch? He made all the plays he needed to make, made all the free throws he needed to make, just like normal. So even the senior point guard in a tough game, 8-8 from the line. That's what you ask of him in 35 minutes. So that was key as well. But Iowa battled, and Indiana battled. It's 60-56. They could have started thinking, hey, we went through this last year, and things didn't go out well. But when you have contributions coming from everywhere, you don't stand around looking for someone to get you hot. Everybody's been hot. Just move the ball.
Yeah.
Move the ball, and it takes the thought out of it. It takes the hesitation out of it. Johnson's hitting shots, he's going to catch it and shoot it. Zaislav's hitting shots, he's going to catch and shoot it. Bielefeld's hitting shots, he's going to catch and shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking, oh, is this the right time, situation, or anything else to do it. And even the start that Troy had to the second half, he rallied from that. I thought that might be the ding, 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 light goes on, bell rings to jumpstart the second part of the season. We'll talk about what happened yesterday, which was nothing. That's a long and short of it. But he comes in the first 2 minutes of the second half, takes two terrible threes.
And a turnover.
Doesn't run back on defense.
Yep.
Turns the ball over because he's completely out of control. And Tom Crane sat him down for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Took him out
you
of
know
the
why?
17 and a half minute mark.
Because he had to.
Yeah.
Because he was hurting the team in multiple ways. He was hurting the team not moving the basketball, mm-hmm. as Indiana did in the first half to open a 16-point lead. He was hurting the team because he wasn't doing Troy things. What are Troy things? Hustling, getting to the glass, getting involved in the game. And we've always talked about this. Sometimes when Troy has that two or three bad minute spell, the head goes down, and all of a sudden, but there was no head going down this time. It was simple. It was go sit
out.
Down.
Get out.
And Tom Crean has been taking grief earlier in this year about playing too many guys too many minutes too long because of things like that. Well, earlier in the year, maybe OG Anunoby wasn't ready for some time. Maybe Juwan Morgan wasn't ready for some time. Maybe Max Bielefeld wasn't ready for Indiana's pace on offense to play all the time.
And being more of an offensive option, which they've used him more recently.
These things are growing up.
He played 14 minutes at Michigan, and we blew their doors off. He played 20 minutes against Penn State. Obviously, we know what happened there. But you're right. I mean, he sat for a long time in the second half.
He
came back in and was a great player down
minutes.
The stretch.
7 minutes. He went out at 17:53, and he came back at right at the 11-minute mark, somewhere right in that time, whatever that number comes out to be. But what did he do right when he came back in? He went and got an offensive rebound.
Yep.
He crashed. He was keeping balls alive. He's making steals. He's getting involved in the play. Quit shooting threes. He did.
Yeah.
Got a dunk. Got a layup on the baseline. All the good things he does you saw in that period. And Indiana is in a game, in a dogfight, trying to beat the best team in the league on their home court. And when he plays like that, Indiana's tougher to beat because then people don't have to sit around and wonder what's wrong with Troy. When one of your started, Thomas Bryan was in foul trouble and Troy Williams is on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
That's 40% of your starting lineup.
Look, people talk about the talent on this team.
And you can point it out.
They talk about the top 50 type recruits, and those are two of the three.
That's right.
Or two of the four.
And Thomas is going to get in foul trouble, especially going against a senior in Woodbury who knows every trick in the book. He got him a couple times in the first half. Why? Because Woodbury is pestering
him. And Thomas has a lot of growth to make on the defensive end.
And Thomas, 4-6 from the field, is great.
Yeah.
He still grabs 7 rebounds all of that. But how many minutes did he play?
14.
Okay. But he's not involved in a lot of that because Indiana can't run him back. I got a third foul real quickly and had to go. And that was it. So you got no Bryant. You got no Williams. They've been better in stretches. And the stretch that happened at Michigan to blow that game wide open, I won't forget this because I typed it in and said, this is going to be the lineup that brings us back. Question mark?
Yeah.
Zeisloft, Bielefeld.
OG.
OG, Johnson, and Yogi.
And Yogi, yep.
That was the lineup that brought you back against Michigan and busted the doors off the game.
Because that was after that timeout at 14 and a half at Michigan.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
So that lineup has finally grown into being used to being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen against Duke. It didn't happen against Wake Forest. It didn't happen against UNLV. They finally found some balance. They finally found some rotations that work out. And because Troy hasn't been playing that well, and because Thomas has been in some consistent foul trouble, they've been forced to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing in disguise. You want that many guys, do you? I don't know. Some coaches argue, I want 5. Look at Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, look at Iowa.
Look at Notre Dame. They don't play anybody.
Yep.
And they're out of gas when they play us.
That's true.
But the point is, when you have guys that can come in and the offense doesn't miss a beat or the offense keeps clicking on those cylinders, that's the important part of this team going forward. Is Indiana better with good Troy and Thomas not in foul problems?
Of course. Absolutely.
But there's another angle of attack with those other players that maybe you get a little bit more muscle. Max inside, gets rebounds. It's not like he's getting 2 rebounds a game. He's getting rebounds. OG, Troy, defensively,
I think there's a
better option than Troy on the defensive end of the court.
You can point very simply, I think, to Bielefeld and OG and Morgan play within themselves and don't try to get outside of themselves more than Troy does. I mean, I don't think there's any question
about
that.
The only knock on Bielefeld is he gets a little 3 happy.
He does, usually, but he's hitting them right
now. If the first one goes in, usually that's the key. And that's not always the best angle that you need from that. He hit a couple against Michigan State, didn't make any against Iowa.
Right.
Now, those are in the shot clock. I never kill anybody for a late clock 3.
No, he shot 2 out of 12 shots. I mean, I get what you're saying. You don't want him to shoot 8 a game.
No.
But, you know, a couple a game, he's hitting them.
Because
he's feeling
good.
Here's
what happens. When Bielefeld gets the ball in the key, he has a ton of moves. Which is great.
Yeah.
And he is really steady in his balance.
And guys can play
turning,
off him.
And he can pass.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. But he's not going to pump fake you from 3 and drive you.
No.
So guys are going to let him shoot the 3.
Now, OG we saw.
That's why he's open.
Yeah, OG we saw can do that, obviously.
Yes.
And had a very nice dunk. But again, those guys.
Dunks are great. When you're getting beat by 20, dunks aren't great.
They're playing within themselves.
They are.
And with guys like Yogi and Robert out there, they can find them.
And they bring a steadying presence to it because things kind of tighten up in the lane. The length of OG, the thickness of Max clogs things up, and those guys don't play as heavily on the perimeter for me where driving lanes become available.
And again, on the defensive side of things, they're simply, they play within themselves. They're fundamentally better than Thomas Bryant and Troy Williams and sometimes even Colin Hartman. They understand the body positioning better. They are better about not getting their hands on people and playing with the body as opposed to the hands and trying to push off. They are better at those parts of the game. Now, again, you're not going to talk about this Indiana team shutting down too many teams, but we have seen some of their better stretches with those lineups on them because they are better defenders.
And again, you're not going to play every game and every opponent the same way. There are some matchups where Bielefeld is better. Playing against Costello and playing against some guys kind of in his same quickness level.
Right.
You saw that against maybe Minnesota. Guys that don't have premium. Woodbury is another great example.
Exactly,
those are guys
exactly
that Bielefeld licks his chops for, and that's a better matchup
per se. Well, and it's probably the Iowa game, and the Woodbury matchup is part of why Bielefeld got the start at Michigan State because Thomas Bryant played 14 minutes.
Yep.
And you need Thomas more than that. 333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Greg.
How's it going, Greg?
Doing very well. How are you guys?
Good to hear you. What's happening, my man?
Well, you know, I'm listening to this conversation, and I'm sure Glass, that the governor will tell you that I'm not a huge Thomas Bryant fan, but I really have been impressed with the play of OG, and I think, honestly, looking at Troy, I mean, I know Troy's got a lot of talent, and he's an athlete, and I think OG's the same type of athlete. I just think OG plays under a lot more control
yes.
than Troy does.
Yep.
And I think at this stage in the game, and maybe it's too late of a stage in the game, but I think maybe you give OG a shot in that spot as a starter and bring Troy off the bench, maybe to calm Troy down a little bit, because there's no doubting his athletic ability and his talent at all. Not going to take that away from him, nor am I going to take anything away from OG, but I think OG has been playing a more complete game, and he's a better defender. What Troy reminds me of is a taller Jeremiah Rivers, who would run down the floor and throw it out of bounds, or just he's a turnover factory at times, and it's frustrating to watch when you got a kid that's so athletic and so talented.
You know, it's interesting because I don't think you're wrong in this sense. Would Troy be a better guy off the bench to bring you some energy? I think that's a fair argument. They asked Crean about that after the game.
Sense.
They asked Crean about that after the game. Hey, are you going to do anything with the starting lineups? Because we saw you put in Bielefeld for Hartman. Is this the
right.
start of something? And he said, you know what? And I like this answer. And I'm not the biggest. I'm not out there tooting the Crean horn every day. Mm-hmm. He said it will depend on the game and depend
the
on the matchup, which is exactly how it should be. It should not be because Troy's a junior and OG's a freshman.
Right.
He did not. There is no hierarchy. It should be meritocracy, Greg. I agree with you 100%. Is Troy more comfortable starting than coming off the bench? That has to be asked, because if Troy comes off the bench and isn't Troy that we all hope he is, that's hurting Indiana even more.
And
because if he's out of the game before the game starts, we don't even have a chance to get 18 points in the first half like we did against Ohio State.
And Greg, you have to consider both sides of this also. So you have to consider Troy. You have to think about that. And, of course, the spot within the team. But I'm going to flip this around to OG also. OG doesn't have a lot of pressure on him right now.
No.
You stick him in there as the savior to the team because he's taken over for your best athlete to make that junior best athlete understand what he's not doing right. And now all of a sudden the freshman's got the pressure on him to produce. The freshman's got the pressure on him that the junior doesn't like him right now because he's stealing his minutes. And quite frankly, the freshman has worked up to this point and has given you an awfully good stuff in the role he's in right now. And I think you might want to be careful
that
you don't upset his chemistry, as you said, or his mindset right
and
now
that's
either.
I think that's the interesting part moving forward, because as a fans, how we look at it says, hey, man, that's just a swap for
OG's
swap.
OG's ready to come in 2 minutes if it happens. But the point is, he's ready to come in. He's not starting from the beginning. And I think there is enough of a dynamic there to really consider.
And I think there's been more good Troy in the last 2 years than there has been bad Troy overall. And I think the Ohio State game has to stick out like a sore thumb, because I don't think taking that away to start helps Indiana at all.
Well, I think and no offense, Dave, but I think that in this situation, I mean, if you were talking about somebody taking Yogi's minutes, that would be one thing.
Sure.
But I think if Troy's enough of a team player, which I would hope that he would be at this stage in his career, if he's enough of a team player, if he saw that it was going to be better for the team as a whole that OG would start, that would be the case. And the other thing that I noticed...
And real quickly, Greg, I'll say this real quickly. I'd love for that to be the case. And I'm not saying Troy's not a team player, but certain people are just different mindsets. We've seen
and
Troy
you gotta
go
get it right with
we've,
him.
Yeah, we've seen Troy go through some stretches where his head's down for three games at a time.
Sure,
because he just doesn't have the confidence. You know, Yogi's gonna fight back if Crean yells at him. I mean, think about the Michigan game. He made a bad play on defense. Crean calls timeout, which he hates to do. He called one of his timeouts early in the first half. He yells at Yogi for 10 seconds, and then Yogi comes out and makes the next three plays because that's Yogi. Yogi's tough like that. He can handle that. I have not seen much to tell me that Troy can handle that.
That's fair. The other thing I was, the other point that I had was, Bryant, this game yesterday, that guy, as big as he is, and again, he's an athlete too, but the guy is, I don't know if he's afraid of contact or, but I saw him go up so soft so many times in that it all game, just was not really muscling up to the hoop and putting a body on somebody, and then he gets into foul trouble, and it just becomes this colossal mess with that guy. And everyone talks about how he's this epic talent and how he's great.
I think he's an epic offensive talent.
Yes.
I think there's no question about his offense, but the rest of his game does need some polish. I don't disagree with that.
Well, And what I'm talking about is offensively, him taking the ball to the hoop. He wasn't going strong at all yesterday, and I've seen that most of the season with him not taking the ball.
But he's shooting 72% from the field. I don't know how much more you could want from him.
He can get stronger.
I think he needs to improve. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's going to get better with that. I think we saw that. Cody Zeller went up there and got absolutely dominated at Michigan State in his first game up there because they play bigs. They play strong bigs, guys that are physical. This team runs them in and out all over the place.
And Costello's a senior, kind of like Woodbury's a senior, nice and he's still finding double-figure games. But again, if Thomas Bryant was a fourth-year player, you don't have to worry about it.
Right now, you see on Thomas Bryant a complete lack of confidence on the defensive side. And I do think that's spilling over a little bit on the offensive. I do think it is a little bit. But I think that whole thing has just got him kind of questioning things. And remember, we had to take away some of his fire earlier in the year because he was too fiery. This is the growth of a freshman.
The one thing, Greg, you saw last night that he has to grow out of is when he is alone, he can't put his shoulder down to go to the basket. That's not playing hard. That's not playing very smart. You saw him have the drive down the lane, and everybody knew after the second dribble it was going to be an offensive foul. He puts his shoulder down. He doesn't need to do that. He needs to go up and through, not into. So, again, he's trying to figure out, when do I do this? I used to be just taller and longer than everybody. I could just shoot right over it. Now I'm getting bumped. Now I'm not getting any calls, according to him. If you watch him during the game, the guy, he gets fouled every time.
Let's be fair. Bryant and Troy Williams still are both like this. And Bryant's a freshman. He's learning through it. And Troy Williams is the junior and still trying to figure it out.
Getting knocked off balance, is still driving off balance. And that's what the decision making from Bryant is hesitant now because the foul thing just seems to be following. He needs to have one of those games where, Nebraska comes to town and they don't have a 6'10 guy that weighs 260 pounds that can lean on them all night.
Try to pour it in there for about 15 shots.
And you just give him the ball and he goes 11 for 13 like he has. We've seen that happen before. But they need to get better. There's no point about it. But the balance of the chemistry, the balance of who starts, who comes off the bench, that's going to be an interesting decision. And when you get paid $3.7 million a year, those are tough decisions you have to make. But he knows the guy's personality. He knows the guys, how they work in practice. Yeah. He's probably floated this scenario to see, hey, what would you think if?
Right.
And if it's not good, it's not good. So we'll go on and we'll see. But right now, it seems like at home, there isn't the problem. On the road, I'm for trying anything right now because the last two games, it's 2-8 Penn State. Come on.
Hey, and let's look at this. I mean, throw them Bielefeld.
Greg, good job. We got to hit a break, buddy. Thank you for calling, as always.
Very good stuff, too, Greg.
Yeah, Greg's always paying
very
attention. We know that.
Here's the other one. I mean, if you want to talk about lineup changes, throw Bielefeld back out there and leave Hartman in the three.
You can change that. You know what? The biggest overrated thing about anything is who starts because, like you said, Troy started the second half, was out at 17:53.
On the last road game, he had his third foul in the first half at Penn State. He didn't start the second half. I mean, you're going to mess with
it. How many times on senior night have you seen the four guys start that never play a minute, and they come out at the first time out? I mean, it happens. Who gives you the best opportunity to win, and I think Tom Crean made that point very solidly. Hey, it's not about who's playing for us in that sense wholly. It's about what the matchup's going to be and what we can do to best extend our scoring, the best thing that can help us defensively. All those factors go into winning. It's just not as simple as whether who starts or not. Because I don't buy that. It's who gives you the best minutes under what circumstances is the difference.
Yesterday wasn't a great example for Troy, but there's been some other games where he's gotten pulled with a quick hook and come back later to great stretches. And Iowa was one of them yesterday. Not so much. But all great questions for Indiana basketball. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass will be in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Real short here because we went long with Greg. Another good call from Greg. Indiana victors over Iowa on Thursday night, 85-78, the fourth-ranked Iowa. So it's another notch in the belt for a top 10 team for the Hoosiers at Assembly Hall. But then they followed it up at Michigan State and lost 88-69 with an atrocious second half. And look, you mentioned it briefly. We've only got a couple minutes here anyways, but it's hard to win on the Big Ten, on the road in the Big Ten, but it has happened also.
Yeah, usually winning teams do that.
What is it with this team, do you think?
That's a great question.
I mean, I 2 minutes isn't going to give you enough time to figure everything out.
We got time.
What stands out more than anything?
The disappearance stands out. The ball, the confidence, the ball movement. Why does it stop? I don't know. Is the crowd too loud? Are you not used to it? All these guys that are playing have all been in these circumstances for the most part. This isn't the first road game for any of these guys. You can open the season. You open the season, the best two places you could open on the road. Well, two of the three at least, at Nebraska and at Rutgers. I mean, that's putting your toe into the deep end. That's not jumping in full feet first. You get a chance to see how things go. But what happens is the basketball stops moving. It's the let's get rich quick theory. You heard it against Mike Tirico made the greatest comment. Michigan at home did this when Indiana's blowing the doors off them. Yeah. Michigan thinks they're going to get an 8-pointer here. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's keeping that poise. It's keeping that. It's almost like when you're at home, you feel that, hey, it's going to come. And on the road, you wonder if it's ever going to show up.
You feel like forcing it.
You feel like you have to make it. But what the good teams do is keep it simple. They don't take the bad shots. They have to make the extra pass. Guys that win at Michigan State and win at Purdue and gave Indiana a really good run, they're missing layups. Iowa missed six layups at the basket, not because they were bad shots, because they didn't go in. That's different. But Iowa wasn't coming down and jacking 24-footers up. Move the ball. Get the big fella involved. Get the ball inside to outside. But if it doesn't come inside, Dave, how does it ever go back outside?
Michigan State, this Michigan State team, I've told you this, they have a weird ability to look really bad in their first halves and come back and look fantastic in the second half.
Yeah.
But the question to me is, that's a veteran team. Was the first half for the Hoosiers, when they were playing so well, was that fool's gold because that's a Michigan State tendency, or were they playing that well at that
time? Here's why it wasn't fool's gold. They knocked down 6 of 9 threes. Now, see what they made for the game.
Yeah.
11 of 30.
Right.
So that's 5 of 21 after that. So know what that means? Mm-hmm. They shot 21 more threes and made 20% of them, or whatever that math is. I'm not good at the math part. That's where you come in.
25%.
But that's terrible.
Yeah.
But here's the issue with this team. The coach tells them to shoot more. The coach tells them to shoot when they're open. At some point, it has to be a better open.
You have to adjust your open.
Okay. What happened when Indiana shot 2 of 12 in the second half against Iowa?
They got to the basket.
They got to the basket. They moved the ball for one better shot.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it. They were 2 of 12 in the second half. So take out the threes. They were 10 of 17. Uh-huh. Give me the percentage on that.
High.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. So you still can shoot the really good looks on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to shoot the halfies. But guess what happens when you make some halfies? Guess what happens when sometimes you make a few with the hand in your face?
They were 6 of 17 on twos.
Guess what happens when you make a couple fading in the corner?
Yeah.
Okay? It's hard to tell you stop, because when you shoot it that well, why would they want us to stop shooting it? If you don't stop people and you give up layups and you're counteracting that with hand in the face three-pointers, 23-4 runs happen.
That's what happens.
And that's what happened. Did they get to the foul line? Michigan State had 16 fouls with 14-something to go.
Yeah, they only got 10 foul shots, 7 in the second half.
14-20. Mm-hmm. I remember watching the game. Hey, that's the 16th foul already on Michigan State.
Yep.
And Indiana, again. Oh, man, I'm kind of open. I mean, I make these.
Mm-hmm.
I shoot 40%. I make these. Why should I stop shooting it? Because at some point, you have to shift momentum by scoring, not attempting to score.
Well, I want to throw this in also.
I think. That's my opinion.
IU, in their stretch early in the first half and even into halftime, had a dramatic lead on the boards. And, I mean, I think it was 8 by about the 5-minute mark left in the first half.
At the final TV
timeout,
they were up 10.
Yeah, they were hitting the boards hard. They ended up losing the rebounding battle by 3.
First time ever.
Again, this is a good Michigan State rebounding team. That's what they've always been great at this.
Yes.
They throw a ton of big guys in.
What is rebounding?
Hoosiers were dominating on the boards in the first 15 minutes.
And they were getting second shots and getting loose balls and everything else. And when it went south in a hurry.
5 second chance points against Michigan State after they had 26 against Iowa.
Yeah, that's effort.
Yep.
It's getting after the ball. It's getting after the glass. It's getting on the boards. And when your best rebounder is in foul trouble and your best action jumping jack is out to lunch.
Is out, on the bench.
Folks, I'm not picking on Troy. These are facts.
And
they get the way of good arguments. Troy Williams has played 39 minutes in the last 2 years at East Lansing, has not scored a point.
Zero.
Zero. That's the number.
Yeah.
And when you say, well, he had four rebounds, that's nice, but he had 0 points.
Yeah.
And the defense we've heard about, and we'll talk about this when we get back, held Matt Costello to a career high.
Yeah.
And held Denzel Valentine to a career high assists. So there are things to work on for the Hoosiers, and there are things to work on the road and at home.
Got to take another quick break. More Hoosiers when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Looks like we're going to live through the show, so thanks for that. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. He will have Phil Cole, the South girls swimming and diving coach. He will also have the new IU football defensive coordinator, Tom Allen. So come on out and wish Tom luck. Hardest job in college football.
One of them.
Indiana's defense nowadays. We will be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and we will preview IU hosting Nebraska.
Game night.
That's right. 333-2665 is our phone number. Still looking back at Iowa and Michigan State. Before we talk about the defense, though, what do we make out of this? Two games against top 10 teams. To me, the two most talented and veteran teams in the Big Ten. I'm throwing away Michigan State's record in the Big Ten because whatever's gone on. But to me, two best ranked overall in the country. Exactly. Fourth and eighth, home, yeah, away, win, loss. What do we make of Indiana after this? Or do we just say they can beat anybody and they can lose to the good teams?
Yep. I think that's been the angle all year long with them. It's, hey, look what we did here and look how we followed it up. Hey, had a great game against Ohio State. What'd you do after that?
Is this
game
team better than last year? Team.
And in what sense? Record wise, I don't know.
Coming down the stretch, is it getting better?
I'll let you know.
A little bit at all?
What have you seen differently? I think you've seen differently the depth. I think that's part of it. But what you've seen is the same reactions on the road that I don't think Indiana should ever play a basketball game where you think they should lose. I guess that's the fanboy in me. But mm-hmm. The point of the matter is, with the resources they have and the talent they have and everything else they have, if you should be able to put up a fight every night out. And when you don't do things like run back on defense and you play hard for portions of the game but not the whole game, everybody wants to talk about, look at the defensive effort against Michigan. On the road, mm-hmm. It was great. All it took for that to happen was a biggest run in Big Ten history.
Yeah.
That's all it took for that to happen. A 25-0 run to close a half, a yeah. three to start the second half. Boom, blew the doors off.
Yep.
Blew the doors off. It was a great performance. And then you look at the performance against Minnesota at home. Or mm-hmm. at Minnesota. You can pick whichever one it was. A 16-point lead at home against the worst team in the league?
Yeah.
That is the quandrum or the conundrum of Indiana basketball right now. It's a riddle trapped inside a Sphinx yeah. trapped and everything else.
Quandrinundrum.
Because when it's so good, it is fantastic. And I'm not talking around your point here. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
It's hard to play well every single night.
Well, isn't that defense that's why we don't know about this team?
That's why championships are hard to win, because those teams do it 85 to 90% of the time. They don't have nights where it just doesn't happen for them.
But again,
Iowa's losses. I saw this stat. I want to bring it up just before it jumps out of my mind. Iowa's losses this year were combined 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're in every game.
Sure, absolutely.
That's hard to do.
Yeah,
that's completely hard to do.
Well, but this is what. But those points are why this team we just aren't sure about. I think this team is better than last year's. I feel better about it. I don't think this team is the Big Ten champion.
Off.
I mean, no, when I look at what's going on, I don't think at the end of the day this is the Big Ten champion.
I don't think
it's as good as Michigan State or Iowa.
And here's why.
And it beat Iowa the other night. I don't think they're as good. And quite frankly, I don't want to play Wisconsin again right now.
seven in a row.
The way they're playing is winning at Maryland.
Why? Hey, no one had beaten Maryland. Wisconsin just did. Nobody.
Yeah, Big Ten was
since they've been in the conference. Zero.
That's right.
Nobody wins in Michigan State except Nebraska and Iowa. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a transitive property thing. It's yeah. it's a fact. So somehow those teams figure mm-hmm. a way to do it. But what Indiana has shown you time and time again, the consistent theme for me is 8 of 27 against Minnesota from 3,
mm-hmm.
3 of 15 at Penn State from 3. They had a really good start to that night, but 5 of 21, their last 26 threes at Michigan State. It's not live by the three, die by the three. It's just Michigan State has more talent than Minnesota. They made you pay.
Yeah.
They hit their free throws. They've got Denzel
Valentine.
They didn't miss
on the other end.
Exactly. The defense that we've heard about gave up 78 to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Why? Iowa's a really good team. But if you're going to beat teams, they did. They found a way to score more.
Right.
You didn't stop anybody at Michigan State, and you didn't score. And you quit doing all the good things you did to build the lead. Mm-hmm. That's the frustrating part. That team, from top to bottom, isn't mature enough, ready to go yet. Why? Yogi's fine. Johnson is in and out. Troy's in and out. Yeah. Zeislav's in and out. Bielefeld's in and out. You can just point to them all.
Yeah.
You haven't had a guy. And even Yogi. Yogi gets credit for a different reason because, number one, he's a senior and been through the wars. And number two, every time in the last 2 minutes, he does his job.
Yep, that's right.
So you want to kill him for 2 of 12 from the field. He shoots too much. Fine.
Eight.
He goes 8-8 at the foul line and wins the game, that's a different story. In winning time, he is doing everything asked of him as an IU senior point guard, mm-hmm. and that is a fact. But everybody else is riding that roller coaster up and down and all around. As good as OG's been sometimes, he falls asleep at times because he's a freshman. As good as Thomas Bryant's been. You can just go through and pick all the guys off. In Yogi's three games in a row, they've lost two of them.
Yogi Ferrell has 147 assists on
Denzel
the year.
Denzel Valentine has more.
Yeah.
And he's missed five games in the Big Ten season.
Well, that's why Denzel is being talked about as a national player of the year.
That's the other level that, again, everybody is involved with this. And when Indiana can't find jump shots to go in, you haven't seen the commitment to driving the basketball, getting better shots, moving the basketball. Yep. It's almost stand and watch and let Yogi bail us out and get us hot, because I can't point out to anybody else who has gotten you out of that. Zeislav in the first half of Minnesota, well that whole game was still.
We were talking off the air, too. I mean, you want to get the ball into Thomas Bryant, but I see way too frequently other players around him bringing their defenders into the play, making some of those difficult. Yes, they're not particularly adept at the interior passes and look the other way.
Teach them.
But at least a portion of that is getting the spacing, and some of those guys have got to get that right and give Thomas some room when he's
ready. The motif with this team is not going to change. When the ball is driven, when the ball gets into the paint, and when the ball is moved, Indiana is very hard to beat. When you stand and watch and settle for the first good look in your offense and it doesn't go in, they're easy to beat.
Penn State
told you that.
We got to head on out of here, folks. Again, Joe Smith, Sports Talk Live from Yogi's, come tomorrow night, and we will be back Wednesday to preview IU hosting Nebraska, also Wednesday night, 8:30. So tune in with us on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.